Welcome to an all-new Nevada Newsmakers. Today, we are going to be talking to economist and entrepreneur Dusty Wunderlich about the local economy and Trumpnomics. That's next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Sully Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary Bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. We are here with Dusty Wunderlich, who is the founder and CEO of Bristlecone Holdings. Let me see if I, can't not step on my tongue there. Dusty, how are you today?
I'm doing great. It's good to be here, Paul. Appreciate you having me.
Well, hey, Dusty, thanks for coming in. Let's talk a little bit about Bristlecone Holdings because it's part of this, fintech industry. People go, okay, what is fintech? We've seen the articles, from the last couple of years. Talk about Bristlecone and talk about the industry overall.
Sure. No, fintech, which is short for financial technology, is really about the disruption of the multi-trillion dollar financial services industry. And it really dates back to, about the late 80s, early 90s. You started to see with the evolution of the internet, new companies, and probably the most famous fintech company is PayPal, started by Peter Thiel. I mean, this was revolutionary at the time of, we were making payments across email. And as some of you might remember with eBay, that was a really big deal. So that's kind of really where it started is like, okay, we can start using technology to do things in the financial services. And it spread from there. It went all the way into the brokerage, the stock space and investing. And we went from using traditional brokers to trading online. And now we're seeing it emerge into insurance, into lending, into banking. And so it's a really interesting space because the financial services industry is one of the last few industries to really be disrupted by technology.
And so it's loans, too. I mean, it's funny. I mean, there's Quicken Mortgage. There's, Rocket Mortgage. There's all these places where you can now go. You don't have to go to a bank to get a loan anymore.
Right. And that's really interesting to see that happening because before it was you're walking into your traditional bank. There's a ton of friction in the process. You're doing a bunch of forms. You're faxing things. It was just difficult. And companies like Quicken, the Rocket Mortgages are making it very easy for us to be able to apply and get credit in a multitude of different areas.
So what do you do at Bristlecone?
Yeah, so Bristlecone was really not much different than what Quicken Loans has done is we saw some major inefficiencies, specifically in the consumer lending space. We saw, particularly at the point of sale, say you wanted to go buy some furniture, you're probably going and writing a handwritten application, faxing it in. You might be there 2 or 3 hours. We saw some great inefficiencies there. And so we built technology really around lending to consumers for consumer durable products. And what we noticed so early on when we were looking into this is that the credit score is a great algorithm for predicting whether people are pay or not, but it's also almost 40 years old. So what we started to realize is now that we have bigger access to data is that you can underwrite consumers in a much more efficient way and price them based on bringing additional data in. So that's a big part of what we do in our technology is an alternative credit score, you could say.
So how long, say I want to go, redo my kitchen or, get a, buy some new furniture? How long would it take me to go through, you know, a company like Bristlecone as opposed to getting a traditional loan?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you're in a Home Depot, for example, and you want to take a $10,000 loan out. The process is simply do it on your phone, a website. It's literally about a 60-second to, you know, 2-minute application that you do, and our algorithms make instantaneous decisions.
Okay, so what are you looking at? You're not just looking at credit score. I mean, are you looking to say, hey, does this guy own a boat? I mean, are they overextended?
Sure.
I mean, what are the things that you're looking at?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we're really take a data agnostic approach, and we really let a lot of this new technology with artificial intelligence tell us what is predictive and what's not. And what we found is things like public records. You know, how many times have you changed your address in the last 10 years? You know, we look at your bank account. What are you doing from a transaction basis? And the reason these things are important is credit score is more of what we call a lagging indicator. It's about how you performed in the past, versus some of these others are more present leading indicators. How are you, acting right now? And there's this whole part of the credit markets they call credit invisibles. And I think there's roughly 20, 30 million Americans that just don't have a credit score. So this also allows us to underwrite. It doesn't mean they're bad credit risk. It just means they don't have credit. So in the millennials, as they move away from credit, we got to find new ways in order to underwrite them.
All right. So talk to me about the difference between, you know, you're looking at, you know, kind of making a jump from fintech to more of that real, and I, you know, quotes, a real bank. What is a real bank? So, you know, what is the difference between moving from where you are today into that real banking model?
Yeah, and I think that's really where we're calling it the next great disruption is how do you take on the big banks? And what we've seen, I mean, if you take a step back, in 1980, there was about 15,000 banks Americans could choose from. And since then, we've gone down to 5,000, and 12 of those banks own 70% of the banking assets. I mean, the consolidation is unprecedented. And from what we've seen, this has created a lot of issues in our financial markets. And what I think fintech has a really unique opportunity is they're finding ways to get to consumers without the traditional banking model, right? So having deposits on hand and then lending off of those deposits. So we're actually moving, because of fintech, to a more full reserve banking system, which flies in the face of fractional reserve banking system our economy's been built on. And a lot of people say is what creates a lot of these boom and bust cycles. So I think that's really where fintech is going to disrupt, is that we're taking those services away from banks. And that is really going to, you know, bring that competition out and bring better products to the consumer.
And more stability to the economy?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the biggest things in the ways that bubbles are created, asset bubbles specifically, is when reserve requirements at a bank, for example, are, brought down by the Federal Reserve, that in essence expands credit and money supply. So we end up getting more dollars chasing, you know, the same amount of goods, which drive up prices. This is what we saw in the housing crisis, right?
All right, Dusty, we're going to keep on this topic when we come back. Right back on Nevada Newsmakers with Dusty Wunderlich.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada is a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
All right. We are back on Nevada Newsmakers with Dusty Wunderlich, who is an economist, an entrepreneur, the founder and CEO of Bristlecone Holdings, and also a fellow Elko Indian. So, you know, there's some Northeast Nevada love out there. So, Dusty, thanks again for coming on the show. Before we left, we were talking about asset bubbles. And you had a TED talk that I watched last night. And if, you know, you Google Dusty Wunderlich, you can check that out yourself, talking about student debt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, student debt is that kind of next big crisis. So tell our listeners what what that comprises of and what it looks like.
Sure. Yeah. It's, you know, when you really look at it on a size perspective, it's not nearly as bad as you would look at like a housing. So, for example, housing debt right now is about $14 trillion. The student loans are $1.3 trillion. But where it becomes a major issue and what we're seeing with millennials is that, you know, 50% of millennials in this younger generation are in jobs that don't require a college degree. So what effectively has happened is, you know, they've obtained a college degree and they end up getting in jobs that they didn't intend to that aren't paying as much.
This is that stereotypical, you know, barista or Uber driver, right?
Right. So now they have all this debt burden and they don't have the cash flow to pay it off. So we're seeing these really strange anomalies. Forever, we thought that, hey, you get a college degree, you make more money, you can own a home, all of these, right? College degree meant better lifestyle, better long-term lifestyle. But what we're seeing now is actually people with high school degrees have higher rates of home ownership, higher credit scores. They have higher auto ownership. So we're starting to see the law of diminishing returns.
Is it because they're getting started earlier?
Yeah, a lot
of
it is.
And they don't have that huge...
It is. So, I mean, like, these are the numbers that just blow me away. So between 2010 and 2020, we're going to graduate 19 million more graduates, but the private sector will only create 7 million more jobs that require a college degree. So we're creating an oversupply of higher education in the labor markets. So they're getting burdened with debt and they're not making the cash flows because the jobs aren't there to support that. So there's no mechanism in which to match higher education supply to the labor market demand right now. And that's where the problem's coming.
So one of the things that you talked about in your TED talk is we need to take a different look at college, you know, in terms of, you know, producing people for jobs or producing, you know, making sure that we have the graduates that are going to fit into those jobs that we need. And also, you know, looking at the difference between somebody who's getting a degree in engineering as opposed to an arts degree.
Right. And this is where you start to see what mispriced risk does. You know, a couple, and these are the areas politicians want to see: high college enrollment and high homeownership rates. But unfortunately, what they've done to do that is really low student loans and housing prices. And what happens is there's no indicator for risk. So, for example, you take a graduate from an engineering graduate from UC Berkeley, they're going to make about $1 million more over a 20-year period than a high school graduate. So, like, okay, that's a good investment. But you take, say, from Murray State, an arts degree student, they're going to make about $150 less than someone with a high school graduate. But both of them are being priced the same for student loans. So students have no way of knowing, is this a good investment because of the way that the current student loan structure is put together? There's no indication of risk.
So any thoughts or suggestions? I mean, do you get a better rate, if you're going to be an engineer as opposed to... I mean, it's, I guess, like, you know, somebody who wants to take a loan out for a car, you're going to look and say, you know, can this person do it? And you're going to pay a higher interest rate if they're a greater risk.
Exactly. I mean, you see right now our student loan market's nationalized. 92% is federally guaranteed. And what's happening, and to your point, if we floated the interest rate on the student loans and brought it back to the private sector, used similar to how companies like ours are using really unique data, it's going to naturally match that supply and demand. So, yeah, you might be able to go get an arts degree, but you're going to have a very high interest rate there, and that'll hopefully reduce the supply that matches that demand in the labor market. So I think that is the one way that we're going to have to be able to fix it, is you've got to be able to get the correct risk indicators, and I think that can be done by floating the interest rate.
All right. Another thing you mentioned, home ownership. Yeah. You know, I look at Reno right now. I look at the price of houses here. You know, I think the median is like 126. I may be off by 10,000 or so. $326,000.
Right.
And you look at the median wage, I mean, what, about $50,000?
Right.
That's a tough nut to crack for somebody who, you know, has an average job, who lives here trying to own a home.
Yeah. No, and this is the problem. You hit it. You nailed it right on. And, you know, a lot of people argue that we're not in a housing bubble, you know, Reno specifically. But the ultimate sobering fact is looking at wages versus the inflation of home prices. And every time you see in the last 50 years where inflation of house prices outpace wages, we see a major correction in the market. And we're seeing that again right now, and especially in Reno. You have 60% of families can't afford a home in Reno right now. It's completely unaffordable. And two things have to break in those environments. Either prices need to correct to get in line with wages, or we start expanding credit in order to, you know, broaden the credit base for more consumers to be able to lend on. So, but we saw what that happened in 2007 and 2008. So
the Tesla effect. I mean, I think a lot of what we've seen in kind of these, you know, this big run up of housing prices is there's all this promise of all this great stuff that's going to happen here. And I mean, you know, talking to people, even in the Bay Area, they say there's something great that's happening in Reno right now, that Reno is kind of this little bubble where things are happening here. Do you think that's real?
I've been a pretty major critic against the Tesla deal. And look, I'm happy they're here, but I think the way we structured it was unsustainable. And really, when you look at the numbers and you take it all away, like a lot of housing, a lot of what's happened is based on pure speculation, right? A lot of institutional buyers, like cash buyers, came in and bought up a lot of the housing inventory, which drove price up, right? But what has really resulted, what we've seen, maybe 400 jobs have been created by Tesla at this point in time, you know? So to me, there's a lot of just speculation going on around what Tesla could be. We still have no idea what Tesla is going to be at the end of the day. I mean, this is a highly volatile company. They could be the, you know, greatest company we've ever seen, like a lot of people. They could also go bankrupt, too. I mean, this is a highly volatile company. But what we're doing is speculating. And when you speculate, the average family is hurt the worst in that.
All right. We are here with Dusty Wunderlich on Nevada Newsmakers. We are going to be right back.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
All right, we are back on Nevada Newsmakers with Dusty Wunderlich, who is an economist and entrepreneur. Dusty, we're talking about, you know, asset bubbles. We're talking about the economy in northern Nevada, you know, possibly a housing bubble. Since the election of Donald Trump, we've seen the stock market go up. It seems that there is a tremendous amount of enthusiasm out there. Do you have a lot of hope for Trumponomics and kind of the promise that it holds?
Mm-hmm. No, it's interesting. I'm very excited about the consumer confidence, the market confidence. You know, there some of Trump's policies I absolutely love, some I hate. He's a really interesting, you know, mixed bag. Where I've landed on this, though, is I think what he can do from a purely fiscal and regulation perspective can fundamentally change America right now. I mean, when you look at from 2009 to 2016, where we're at right now, really the Obama era, we've seen the worst expansion in modern history. Productivity is stagnant. Wages are stagnant. And when you really look, like, what has really caused that? And, you know, there's a lot of ways we can look at that, but it's hard not to look at regulation. We've seen 20,000 new rules written under the Obama administration. I mean, me personally, as a business owner, I know how difficult this is.
And I know, especially the financial industry.
Right? Absolutely. We've just been hammered. And, you know, the number one way that we fix this economy and these asset bubbles is productivity, because productivity drives wages. So anything that we can do to take that burden off of regulation to promote innovation and productivity, I think even some of the mistakes Trump might make will be overshadowed in the basis of driving that productivity.
Well, I know that, you know, for the industry I represent, you know, the trucking industry, regulations are kind of the bane of our existence. I know if you're in energy, if you're in finance, yeah, you know, even construction, I mean, they will tell you that the regulatory, you know, whether it's the EPA or the SEC, whoever. Yeah, I mean, it's consumer finance. That's what I was going. The Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, whatever it's called. The one that Elizabeth Warren created. I mean, it does kind of create a kind of a crazy, almost an unstable environment to operate in.
Yeah. And I mean, what you've seen is you've seen mass consolidation, right? So we've seen the largest run on mergers in American history, $10 trillion since 2009. So what does big government do? It breeds big business, right? Because they're the only ones that can afford the regulatory costs, and that decreases competition and innovation. And that's the environment we're in
right now.
Well,
I hate that for my TV. I mean, I'm thinking of going to Sling because, you know, DirecTV and, you know, they were bought by AT&T and, you know, you don't like either of those. Yep. So yeah, where do you go? No, we are in kind of that weird place. Although at the same time, you kind of have, you know, what we're talking about, this disruption that's happening in the economy as well. You have, you know, companies like Uber and Lyft, which have disrupted transportation. You have Kickstarter and, you know, places like Bristlecone that are disrupting the financial market. So, I mean, you are seeing this change. And, you know, you do see yourself, you do see Bristlecone as kind of this disruptive force in the financial, you know, in the financial realm. Mm-hmm. You've got a really interesting company culture. I mean, I've been to your office in Midtown. I think it was the old Heritage Bank on South Virginia Street. Great building. I mean, it doesn't necessarily feel like Reno. And when you look at Glassdoor, you guys have a 5-star rating on Glassdoor, which means you have a great, you know, great employee morale, great company culture. Talk to me about that and what you were trying to and what you continue to try to, you know, instill in your company.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we early on, you know, a lot of early in my career, I got to spend a lot of time in Silicon Valley and around a lot of great entrepreneurs and just saw this new emergence of the modern day culture in business. And so part of it was observing that, but part of it was just in the data. I mean, we've seen now that engaged employees just perform better and it hits the bottom line. So very early on, we invested in this. One of my first hires was a director of people and culture. And it's like, how do we make a great culture so we have engaged employees? You know, so a lot of that is just, it's not micromanaging people. At the end of the day, people want to be they want to have guidelines and responsibilities. But at the end of the day, you hire them and let them do their job. And so we've created an environment around that. So I mean, we have two rules basically in our entire company. You look at our manual, and it's basically, you know, respect everyone and do what's in the best interest of the company. So outside of that, we don't have dress codes. You know, we don't have vacation policies. It's like you follow those two rules, be responsible, and it'll all work out. And so far, we're seeing that play out in our bottom line and also with just how our employees enjoy working for the company.
All right. Hey, Dusty, thank you very much for coming in. Always good to have a fellow Elkoan, you know, here on the show. Appreciate you, and we'll have you in again. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers. Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday. Trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Thanks for listening. Tomorrow, we are going to have Dr. Eric Herzig, who is the chair of the Political Science Department. That's tomorrow on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.